Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm with the bin man, David Flatman, for this episode.
Knew it.
The Flats and Shanks podcast. Yeah, well, you look like Marv from Home Alone, but who's been on an all-inclusive holiday.
You can't see it,
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, toddlers. Don't know who listens to this, but he's in a beanie, and
yeah,
I always like a beanie with a bobble.
No,
otherwise,
I'm not a
otherwise
beanie
I look
guy anymore.
Otherwise, I look like you.
Yeah,
but you're lucky. You're like me. You've got a pretty face, and you can get away with it. Some people can't.
Yeah, and I went to the gym this morning, as did you. And it's legit cold outside. But I walked down. I wore a sweatshirt, which is a concession for me, but a pair of shorts. And I thought, do you know what? A little beanie would just take the edge off. And I got a Christmas beanie. This isn't it. I got a really nice Christmas beanie for the cold days on the touchlines. And I've forgotten them to all the games I've done since I got it. Left it at home for every game I've done. And this one came as a freebie. My wife got me some socks for Christmas. And they said, you buy an extra pair of socks and you get a free hat. So this is a relatively low quality, but very warm hat.
Any flat caps coming out soon? I saw John Barkley with one in a pub the other day with Ryan Wilson. I just thought, oh, mate, I've just lost respect for you now. You're wearing it in a pub. You're trying to be like a funky, what are they called? A hipster.
Hipster. But the thing is, mate, I've been wearing flat caps 20 years now.
Yeah,
I know. I'm not nouveau, mate. I've been on it 20 years, Bab. I have got a 20-year-old flat cap that I might well wear this week when I go
Carhartt.
Shooting. In Carhartt, the Leicestershire countryside.
Like a cool one, like a...
Yeah, no, it's just an old scabby one.
Eclipse.
But I will go shooting without shooting anything this week, Tommy. Anyway, look, hey, welcome to the pod, everyone. It's great to be back. We've had a couple of weeks off. We've had, believe it or not, this is not the equivalent of retweeting praise, which some people do, and I don't want to get too strong on it, but it makes me want to be sick every time people retweet praise of themselves. I had a good fair few messages saying, where's the pod? My friend Nicole, but among others, but lots of people saying, where's the pod, fella? And I said, look, we're taking a break. We need a break.
Happy New Year, you buggers. We're back.
Should we start swearing on this pod? Because I'm listening to quite a lot of Joe Rogan podcasts at the moment, and they're just loose and he doesn't care. And I think, yeah, let's just say what we actually think. And then I think we will actually lose our jobs and be homeless, so we can't.
And I'll have to find a little link or some sort of box to tick to say explicit language.
And you can't be asked. But also, I don't think we really think horrible stuff, and we're only talking about naff all on this pod, really. So we don't really talk about anything important. We do, but we don't tend to go global and political. We tend to go Netflix and iPlayer, but that is in most people's lives that is more important, actually.
But sometimes we could go full on Samuel Jackson, couldn't we, and just let it out like Tourette's.
Yeah,
which I know you have got a form of, you know, growing up in Maidstone.
I remember I remember watching the Tourette's documentary, and there was that original Tourette's documentary. And look, I was a kid when I watched it, right? So this is the sort of stuff that upsets people a lot, okay, saying things like this. But I was a kid when I watched it and remember thinking, this is the best program I've ever watched in my life. It's amazing because they're swearing and shouting and lashing out. Had no concept of how awful it was for these people. But then I spoke to my dad about it, who's a psychologist and whatever, and he would say, well, it hasn't been made for you to laugh at, and you're not ridiculing them. You're imagining yourself doing those things, which is outrageous. That's why it's kind of outrageous and funny. But also, he made a really good point to me, and it's not the same as my brother who has Downs and cerebral palsy and stuff, but it's like what happens is, do you think these guys don't want to be involved in the joke? Like, they want to be involved. They want to be treated like you get treated, someone who doesn't have disabilities and doesn't have Tourette's. So actually, don't feel too bad on yourself, mate. It's all right. Like, some of that stuff is actually really sad. If you're an adult, you get it. Some of it is actually really funny because they say really funny stuff. And we used to wonder if my little brother, we used to tell people falsely that my brother had Tourette's because he doesn't speak like we do, but he can say certain things. And he would say things out of the blue, and you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe he just said that. And I mean, awful stuff. And we would say, sorry, he's got Tourette's. And people just bought it. They just bought it 100%. Oh, you know, Shoal, the foot shop.
Yeah.
The shoe, you get insoles and stuff. I was in Shoal once looking for some insoles, soft insoles for me runners, my Maldives or whatever it was for pre-season. And my brother was in there. I'd wheeled my brother in there in his wheelchair. And the woman basically came over to serve me, and she was a very normal sized woman. And he just said, fat cow. I'm like, no, sorry about that. He's got Tourette's too. And so I wheeled him out, and he just shouted, I think I can say this because it's a female dog. He said, bye bye, fat bitch, as he walked out the shop. My brother didn't swear then.
No.
Nothing. This was like an absolute like bolt from the blue. We got him out of there quick, smart, raced him down the pavement and stopped, whacked his brakes on and pissed ourselves. Like, that is amazing. And ever since then, he's like, he did knows like he gets a laugh. So
did like a white transit van pull up outside the shot and you just bundled him into that.
He was like, go, get him out. We're just pissing ourselves.
When I used to go out with Kerry Sweeney, still do, but like on the town or just for a coffee, I'd have to tell people he's got Tourette's. I'd say, sorry about my mate, he's got Tourette's. Because he just loves swearing.
Does he?
Yeah.
Swears per sentence high.
Yeah. Oh, mate. If you had a swear jar, swear box.
But I like now, you look back at stuff. This is, again, we're not going Joe Rogan territory, but just being honest, like you look back and like I was probably like 17, 18, just learned to drive. And my brother obviously had a blue sticker. My parents had a blue sticker in their car so you could park and disable bays.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, you drive me to town and I'd be like, the lads are like, oh, grab his sticker. But yeah, just drive it in. I probably did it 10 times or 5 times or something, but it was like, yeah, do that. And just park in the best spots in town. It's like, oh, mate, can park right on the high street. This is amazing. Absolutely no concept of the fact that someone who is actually disabled might need that bay. In fairness, it's not a defense, but there were about 100 bays. And I don't think I ever took one when there was more than 10 taken. But you know, as my dad always says, one of the real perks, mate, you get the best parking. Loves it. We have like you've been to my place. We've got like a single yellow out the front of ours. And it's really handy because it's always empty. We live in town. But my mum and dad come with my brother, blue sticker, leave it there all week, mate. What a feeling.
I had to drive through Bath on the 27th of December because popped to see my sister. So we had a family do it. My sister's, who lives in Bath, as you know.
Saw her running the other week.
Yeah. Stop stealing her underwear, she said. And I was trying to
She's running.
I was trying to find your road, but I couldn't find it. Went through Bath, went through like round the little square, and then came back out the other side because traffic was so bad. Like, it took me 3 hours to get to Bath, and it took me about 2.5 to get home. Don't know. Just... Oh, I actually do know why. The A487 bridge was closed and all the traffic was going through the main bridge, which you wouldn't have thought would have made that much difference. But Christmas, maybe. Everyone tends to go out on the 27th. But I couldn't find your road, mate. I couldn't find it.
Mate, it's not that hard. You just put in Google Maps Royal Crescent.
Don't tell people.
Oh, God. That's one of those addresses, right? The Royal Crescent. It's like... some people who live on it, because you meet people over the years that live on the Royal Crescent, and some people...
Does Jamie Roberts live on the Royal Crescent?
Can't say. It's not fair.
I can't remember by his social media.
Yeah, I can't remember. Some people say is, I live on the Royal Crescent. They can't wait to tell you. Some people, I live just over there, or live in town. Whereabouts? The Crescent. There's a few Crescents. Oh, the Royal Crescent. Yeah, yeah. And some people, like, they realise it's such a big move to live. It's the most expensive place to live in Bath, which is an expensive place to live anyway, to buy a house. And relatively, in national terms. And there are some people, you can tell the real money, because they're just like, yeah, I live on the Crescent. And it's just completely normal. Where else would I live? But there are three categories of people. There are people who are desperate to tell you they live on the Crescent. But most of the people on there that I've met, and I probably know four or five of the houses along there, it's just completely obvious that they would live there, because that's it. Where else would you live in Bath? And I've worked really hard, so why shouldn't I? And I tell you what, people in Bath say, I would never live on the Crescent, even if I won the lottery. I wouldn't live on the Royal Crescent. Too many tourists. Bullshit. You'd live there. You'd live there in a second. It is unbelievably beautiful. The houses are amazing.
Do you get a garden?
Yeah, you do, yeah. They're varied in size, but some of them have really good gardens. I think one or two of them have got pools. Like, you're not living in the countryside. It's a city garden, but some of them have really good-sized gardens. And at the end of it, like a three-bed coach house, which backs on, which looks like a house on the street behind the Crescent. It's actually the coach house to the main house. So I know someone who, like, they lived in their main house and they were getting divorced and stuff. So one of them just moved into the coach house, which is a three-bed house at the bottom of the garden. Like, it is just beautiful, absolutely beautiful places.
I'll tell you what, we keep delivering this pod week after week, year after year. Who knows?
We've said this before. We could try and make some money off this podcast at some point, but it's so much effort.
Can you leave us a review as well, if you're listening, please? Just in general. I think that's how you bump your numbers up, by getting good reviews.
I have never, ever, I would not know how to look at a review of a podcast.
Oh, don't. If you're after confidence, don't. Slag you right off.
Yeah, Swindon, I mean, don't.
Call you a little
slag. I don't look on a... I don't look on Twitter anymore. X, don't look on X anymore.
Really?
No. Well, maybe genuine now, once a month. Once a month, I'll check.
The first thing I do after a night out. Oh, what have I done?
No, I don't. I feel like it's not a dead platform at all. But I must say, I don't. Where'd you look? Instagram, and I don't miss it really. Like,
where'd you get your kicks from then?
Yeah, Insta. Basically, car websites, mate.
Prison dating.
I've been thinking, like Christmas, New Year, and you start thinking about your life. Yeah. New Year's resolutions.
Here we go. Get ready for this. It's gonna be big.
I do look back, right, and think it was obvious that I was always gonna like go the rugby direction, like you did, like us lot did. But I look back and think, had I gone in the car direction, would that have been a massive mistake? Because I think about it, like,
what do you mean, like,
I watch a lot of rugby. I love rugby. I really like rugby, which is handy. So I like watching rugby. I lock myself away on, yesterday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and in the little snug in here where I do my podcast and watch the rugby on my own for a couple of hours. And I really like it. I'm really into it. I'm invested in all the games. Like, so I don't regret having gone the rugby route, but I do probably 70% of my internet action is cars.
What would you do with cars, mate? Are you talking about like having a secondhand garage, buying and selling, wheeling and dealing?
I would do that. That's a bit too much admin. I'd need Michelle to do the admin for me, the forms. But I know more like sort of car journalism, really. And then I start looking at these car influencers, basically. And these guys are, some of these, there's obviously loads of them, but some of them are incredibly successful.
You're too Marmite.
And I do look at them and I look at some of them and think,
you're too Marmite. You're too Marmite for that.
But yeah, it's just, I think about cars all day, every day. Like, it is a proper... Yeah. It's not an addiction because I don't go and buy them. So it's not an addiction, but it's an obsession. And I've been the same since I was a little boy. My parents tell me, and like it's genuinely, this is going to sound mad. Like I can't, the point where, you know, Freya actually said to me a while ago, she's like, well, okay, supposing you said, right, go and buy one car. You actually just think this is the one you're going to go and buy. And you've got to buy it and you've got to keep it. So you can't just swap it, because people who love cars swap cars all the time. And I said, right, it's probably, if you gave me, you know, $160,000 budget, I'd probably get one of these. Because I've got the family car sorted, got my wife's car, they'd probably get $165,000-$175,000. And she's like, do it then. I was like, yeah, but we're $174,000 short. And she's like, yeah, but if it's that important, like finance, do this, sell something, sell that stupid watch you don't wear, whatever it is. Not that it's worth any money, but it's like,
sell your body.
People who have no money find ways to drive amazing cars.
What is the car?
Well, I'm a Land Rover ambassador, so
okay.
That's the other thing. I don't talk about other car brands. You don't see any car stuff on my, except my Land Rover on my Instagram, because I value my ambassadorship too much, you know, and I do. Yeah. My favorite cars in the world are Range Rovers and Land Rover Defenders. They are my favorite cars, but I also love 911s. They're also a passion of mine.
If you're looking for a service, though, do you know where you should go? New Broad Street Motors in Barry. It's on Cardiff Road into Barry. Tell them Tom sent you.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is a proper obsession. So like last night, Gigi, our little baby, she came out in like this really immediate rash straight after we'd had dinner, and then she'd been breastfed. It was like less than 10 minutes after we'd eaten, breastfed, massive rash all over her face, legs, body. So I stayed at home with a toddler. Freya took her to A&E. She's fine. Took some Piriton, and they're going to test her for allergies. But I wasn't worried because the baby was fine, and Freya was gone for probably 2.5 hours. And she's like, what have you done while I was gone? She updated me on text. I was like, she's like, because you haven't tidied up after dinner and you haven't cleaned the kitchen. And I was like, yeah, I'll do all that now. Sorry. I've been watching car videos on YouTube solidly since the toddler went to bed. So I've done 2 hours of solid YouTube videos, half of which I've already watched. I know all about these cars, and I watch and watch and watch and watch and watch. And it's like,
I'm not a psychologist, but I think you need to break the cycle somehow.
Go and buy one. I need to go and buy one.
Well,
I don't. That's what I don't need to do. But yeah, it is. Maybe my point is, maybe this is the year of the car, you know?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, this would be, you're probably lying to me, and it's not cars. Cars is just a buzzword you use, and it's actually porn.
Pornography. Yeah, I...
Hello, Susan. Can you make Bangkok chick boys come on my TV? I don't like them. I'm just confused.
Yeah, no, that is my.
Yeah, I like golf.
That's my version of it.
Yeah, I like golf. I'm not quite as obsessed. Guy, yeah. Yeah, I do like looking at new clubs. And every time I think, right, I get a new club, but clubs are, you know, a fraction of the price of what a car would be. I have a good run with my old clubs, and I think, well, actually, I'll keep them.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna actually try and play this week on Wednesday with Jamie Robinson if I can, weather permitting.
Weather is what I think about that.
Yeah. Hey, now we could go on and on and on about our hobbies and what we like to scroll through and how you've completed a lot of stuff on the internet.
Piston heads.
Yeah.
When I put P into my Google bar, whatever it is, search bar, piston heads comes up. What comes up when you put P in?
I don't know. I'm always on private.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I buy my wife flowers all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
To see. I've watched something brilliant on TV, and I hope you've watched it. Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it 2 days ago, and it must have been about 6 o'clock at night. And we often don't get that much time in the evenings with three kids. But just let my youngest play on his iPad and mess around.
Yeah.
And just let him stay up late. Watched all 4 episodes.
Paula Venables, CEO of the Post Office, was she needs to hand back her CBE. I think the online petition has passed a million votes. And the thing is about CBE, what does it really mean? I mean, who cares really? But
title, it's quite big.
It's a title, yeah. But actually, her handing it back admits she
guilt.
Knew, and I think it concedes wrongdoing, which is why she won't do it. And I just, you shouldn't,
have you watched
shouldn't it? Go around practicing hate. You shouldn't feel hateful about things, and I don't really. But I do want the people responsible to get hammered in some way for letting all those people suffer. I just think, are you?
It's incredible how they hid behind the system and how they bullied people and made them plead guilty, thinking it was their own fault. So.
Awful,
because they bullied them into large sentences and a huge amount of fines. But it's incredible. Like, it properly really annoyed me. And I was watching it. I was thinking at the end, I was hoping for some massive compensation fee for all of the claimants that were in there, because their lives have been ruined. Not only just the money that they were deemed to have lost, which they hadn't, but the time as well after, where they've had to get their lives back on track, find new jobs.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. I just
like bankruptcy, suicide, like
absolutely gutted. But it was, you have to watch it, ladies and gentlemen. It's brilliant. It's captivating. But it's also incredible to think in this day and age, something like that can go on. And
yeah.
how the post office can hide behind the government, and get away with it, because it's robbery.
Oh, it's just awful. It's worse than robbery, because it's just, you know, as they said, it's not all about the money. It's partly about the money, but it's the damage they did to so many people. And actually, they've only...
It is about the money for me. Like,
only,
because
they've overturned the criminal records, and it's people have got criminal records, and they've only overturned like 10% of them or something. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
but 2 million
all
quid
need
would,
to be deemed unsafe.
Two million quid would, you know, would ease that criminal record.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. But geez, man. Just awful.
So I watched that recently. What is the new one now with Michelle Keegan in on Netflix? I just started watching it.
I don't know who Michelle Keegan is. So
she's married to Mark Wright.
He's the Love Island guy. No, what?
Only he was on The Only Way Is Essex. I'll tell you what.
Beautiful guy. The beautiful guy.
They're both beautiful, mate.
Yeah.
Fool Me Once.
Oh yeah. I've seen it flash up. It says top 10 on Netflix, but that means nothing. That means absolutely nothing. There's some garbage in that top 10.
There's been a few series from
Netflix gone right off the boil, mate, this last year or so. Like, I often don't even go to Netflix anymore. If I didn't have Netflix, I think I wouldn't miss it now.
Really?
They've lost it. Yeah. I think so. What do you watch on Netflix, mate? I watch like Meat Eater, I watch The Hunting Programme. What else do you watch on Netflix? Like,
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
The Killer. The kids watch a lot of stuff. Waco. Watch Waco yet?
The Killer was good. I mean, okay.
Have you watched Waco yet?
No.
That is brilliant. You know that the End of Days podcast, David Goresh?
Yep.
I think it's Goresh.
He's the cult leader.
Yeah. This is actual footage of what went on in interviews. I know we've listened. The pod is really good on BBC Sounds, but... I found this was even better, because you're actually seeing footage of
All right, I'll have a look at that.
It's three episodes maybe, but much better than the pod, I thought. There's loads of stuff I watch on there.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Okay, I take it back. It's amazing, and I watch it every day. No, I don't. I barely use Netflix. I haven't watched the latest series of Afterlife for some reason. I keep forgetting to watch that. Must watch that, because that's a great show. Have you seen Ricky Gervais stand-up yet? New one?
Seen bits of it.
Yeah, I haven't. I really want to see it. He's one of those people. I always think like Ricky Gervais is like comedy's version of Coldplay. Like, it's almost like trendy to say that he's not your favorite, and you want to act clever by picking someone else like Stuart Lee or someone. And it's like, no, Ricky Gervais is the funniest stand-up comedian going. Like, for a while it was like anything Chris Rock said made me want to get a nosebleed. It was so funny. But now it's like, he's also great, but it's like Ricky Gervais, just in British terms especially, I think just nails people. Just nails
he's
it.
So intelligent.
Yeah,
which most comedians have to be, because they've got to understand
so
the joke,
clever.
And they've got to understand society, politics, everything, really. That's why they're so clever, because they know so much. But he's probably up there with IQ wise, you can imagine. Yeah, so done that. Not really done too much.
Oh God, what? No, we must. It's a rugby podcast, but there was something else.
Well, I've watched the Gruffalo 600 times, Stickman 400 times, Zog 300 times over Christmas. What I would say is, I hadn't watched the Gruffalo before until this Christmas.
It's your fourth child, mate.
I know. Missed it. But the music, I think they call it the score, don't they? The music on the Gruffalo is so amazing. Like, I hope it gets the credit it deserves. I hope it's won awards. It's absolutely amazing.
Voices in it as well. James Corden's on it, isn't he?
Gruffalo. Yeah, it's loads of, and Rob Brydon's in all of Julia Donaldson's animated book animations, basically. He's in it. He's everywhere. He's doing great. He's a bona fide comedy genius, to be fair. But yeah, it really, really got into that. Way too into it. Watched Home Alone over Christmas. I never really watched TV over Christmas. Too busy cooking and eating, really. But we haven't asked each other how our Christmases were because it's so long ago. Go on.
Loved it.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah. Good fresh start there, isn't it? Beginning of Jan. Good to have a fresh start there.
Oh, my little one, who's 5.
That's not little, mate. That's teenage.
He was up like every hour. He's coming in like eyes half open, going, has he been yet? Has he been? Can you check? Like, it's 3:30 in the morning. No, he hasn't been. Go back to bed. End up getting
what I do. You say, if 5. You get up, he doesn't come. You scare him away. He's like a spider or a mouse. As soon as they hear you, they're gone. Oh, mate.
Doesn't quite understand.
Big drama in the house this morning.
Oh.
My wife has... she went out to sort the bins out in the back garden, and she saw.
Well, she does that, does she? Oh wow,
you're right, she does, mate. It's a pink job. She goes out to put the bins out, and just stick it in the bin store in the back garden. And there's evidence of some shredding having gone on by rats. Presumably a mouse in there,
or rats.
Now she has a phobia of mice and rats, and it is like a lot of phobias are irrational. Hers is extreme and it is real. And she is, for example, I was about to do the pod and she's like, don't forget, darling, you've still got some Christmas cake. She makes me my own Christmas cake every year and I eat the whole cake to myself. No one else knows it's there. Don't forget, darling, you've still got some Christmas cake to eat. And I said, bring it up. And she's like, I still can't leave the kitchen. So she is paralyzed by fear that there is a mouse in the back garden, which there will be loads of them. Absolutely paralyzed, frozen. Like, if I said I saw a mouse 3 weeks ago, she would like freeze, scream, burst into tears. It is proper stuff.
What's she like when you're reading the Gruffalo?
The other day, my big girls are up at their mum's house and they've got loads of cats. Like, the mad lady with the cats is her, and they got a cat's brought a mouse in. So they just sent a picture of a dead mouse holding it up by its tail on that we found in the kitchen. And holy shit, mate. Right, yeah. Lost it. It's not a joke to her. It's actually not a joke to her. So I'm now going into full rodent extermination mode, even though...
I'm like that with snakes. That's why they call me Indiana Jones. And my dad calls me Junior. I hate snakes. They don't. Just maybe that. But yeah, I can't stand snakes, honestly. Like,
oh, God, you know, when you go like these trips, like my daughters have done school trips to the zoo, like when they're like 6 years old and they're holding snakes. I'm like, not a chance would I hold
deal
snakes.
With my own, but other people.
Whee!
No, I can't stand them, mate. To the way they move, the way they eat, the lot. Ugh, goes properly through me even thinking about
it. I saw a video of a crane on Instagram, a crane lifting up
anaconda. It would have been an anaconda
or a python, whatever it is. And holy shit, mate, that's got to be like 40 feet long. Someone said, the longest one's 30 feet. I'm like, bro, that is longer than 30 feet. That is more than 3 basketball hoops long. And it's fat, mate. Like, it's fat.
Yeah. I'm sort of thinking if I lay straight with my arms by my side, it'd be able to devour me.
No, you wouldn't. I was at Welford Road. Sorry. Mattioli Woods, Welford Road on Saturday. And I was just like sitting there watching the bit of dead time. And I was looking at Solomone Kato, who played in the midfield. And I watched him and I was just looking at his legs and I was just like zoning out a little bit. And what I imagined, what I was thinking was that python that I saw on that crane getting forklifted out of the jungle was, I reckon it was girthier, 30, 40 feet long, whatever it was, girthier than his thighs, which are massive. I was like, then I was watching Gloucester play Bath on Sunday and Fraser Balmain ran on. And it was quite a close up as he ran on from behind. And I thought, I reckon his thighs are about the girth of that anaconda, but 40, 300 feet long. And mate, that'd make mincemeat. That'd do you and me in the same helping, mate, the same sitting. Like,
dislocate your jaw.
Amazing. Amazing things. Oh.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I did two games flat over Christmas period. Cardiff versus the Dragons, Boxing Day. Weather was perfect.
How was the weather? Yeah.
It was crisp. It was dry, which was the biggest thing.
Oh,
God. On an artificial pitch, and Cardiff absolutely hammered the Dragons. Couldn't believe it. They were good against Bath. We were both there. The following game then, they had against Dragons 55-21. And they were...
Goodness me.
Yeah, it was something like 45-7 at halftime. Game gone.
So, MC hammered.
MC absolutely hammered. And they were good. The second game I did was Ospreys versus Cardiff, New Year's Day at the Dunraven Brewery Field. And the weather was pretty bad over that period. Heavily rained. And I said, there's no way a professional game, a showcase for Welsh rugby, the biggest game of the season, two best teams over the Christmas period. We have Judgment Day, which is big, but that's right at the end of the season. So by then, most of it is sort of filtered out as to where teams are and what's left to play. Still loads to play for at the moment. And the pitch was just horrendous. And it wasn't Bridgend's fault, okay, because that's their pitch. They're not in the URC. They're in the Welsh Premiership. They're in the Welsh Premiership. But I look at some of the derbies that went on over the Christmas period, and you had, or the festive period, and you had Edinburgh, Glasgow at Murrayfield. And there was 40, 50,000 there. And it was great. And I looked at TNT and you had Quinn's Gloucester and you had celebrity DJs and it was just awesome. Rocking there.
77,000. Yeah.
And then I look at, and the Irish derbies, you know, were big, played on a good pitch.
Yeah.
And I just look at that pit and it took me back about 30 years. And some people love that and it's a nostalgia effect. But
it doesn't draw people in though that aren't going to watch otherwise.
For me, when trying to sell a game, and that is the product on the field. And there were six tries, but it was two or three phases and kick. It was a mud bath. I had a little go online, or not online, on commentary about the stand of the pitch, and it's down to the Ospreys deciding where to play it, because there was issues with the fixture schedule, and Swansea were playing at the Swansea.com stadium, but you can't be playing a professional game in this day and age on a pitch like that when you want to grow the game.
Yep.
But what I will say,
it is a nice idea to visit these clubs, but
it is because it was atmosphere was good. Yeah. Because you don't get that in the Swansea.com stadium because it's so big, but you get whatever it is, 8 or 9,000 at the Dunraven Brewery Field, and it's bouncing. And they, you know, yeah. they had a lorry with a curtain pulled aside, and some guy was playing a guitar under there. And then they could, the facilities weren't great, as you can imagine. You know, it's a really old club. It's not up to the level that you'd see in the URC.
Yeah.
And I know some of the players weren't too fast, but I just had end to end abuse, mate, online.
Have you?
Yeah. Loads.
What about criticizing the pitch?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, who is going online to comment on what someone else thinks of a rugby pitch? Who's doing that, mate?
And it's not like what I'm trying to say is, like, a level of sport at this level should not be played on a pitch like that, because it doesn't resemble anything you play on week to week. It doesn't resemble anything you play at test match level.
I think if you have, like, say, like, and
this is
Bath,
down to the Ospreys scheduling, not.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, even the Bath pitch was good yesterday. We're watching the game.
And that was underwater the day before. I mean, it was largely underwater.
Solid underfoot.
But if Bath actually has a really good, amazing pitch, considering it's next to a river, right next to a river. I mean, you could chuck a tennis ball underarm and hit the river. It's that close, isn't it? But it's got a really good pitch. But the occasional mud bath at Bath would actually be fun, and you'd all look like bloody warriors in it, and that's great. But actually, if it's every week, that's not good enough, and they would have to make a change. But the occasional mud bath is all right. But I don't know. I do like the idea of them playing these games at these clubs. I do like that. And I just think you're massively out of order for criticising the pitch, because you don't care about the game.
But then you've got players like, you know, you've got to try and persuade players to stay at your club, you know. So say someone like your Mason Grady. Like, I know for a fact he absolutely hated it. And you're thinking, right, you've got to try and get these players to stay. It's a tough one. But games like that.
It is.
But anyway, like, the more I go on.
You are a massive hater, which is a real shame. You got bitter. You're a bitter ex-pro. But, and you go one or two ways, don't you?
But yeah, hammered online.
Oh, great.
Bloody standby, what I said.
It's, yeah. Who's going on there to hammer people? That's what I don't get. I don't get, like, why are you going to do that with your... In fairness, I did it once, actually. I'm a hypocrite. I did it once. I put some hate online. David Hay lost a boxing match, and as soon as he lost it, he blamed it on his toe. It was his toe. And I didn't say you're effing this or effing that, because what am I gonna be aggressive to him for? It knocked me into next week in about 10 seconds flat. But it was like, I was just like, mate, I said something like, don't do that, mate. You just lost the fight. Don't tell everyone you got a bad toe. Like, you know, I played rugby with one guy who had a testicle injury. I won't say his name. Testicle injury. Had an operation on the Tuesday. Played 80 minutes on the Saturday against Leeds. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like proper operation, general, balls out. Didn't see him till Friday. Takes part in the team run. Doesn't mention it. Have you had an operation? Nope. Where have you been? I've been poorly. The lad said you had an operation on you. Nope. And the doctor's like, yeah, he did. Let's have a look. No. Just doesn't mention it. Won't talk about it. Plays 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Hard as nails, mate. And you got this fella. I mean, David Hayes, harder than everyone I've ever met. But I did do that once. But then I actually met him and said, by the way, I sent this message once. And it wasn't really horrible. I didn't swear or anything. And he sort of laughed it off. And I said, but I will smash face in if you want to fight.
So, I'll stick the head on you.
Yeah, stick a nut on you.
Yeah.
So I'm a hypocrite. I'm an online hater. It wasn't even that bad. I just said, come on, mate. But... yeah, it's the who's going on there and doing this stuff. I don't understand.
I mentioned it twice. I said first half and second half, little rant. But anything that went on in the game then, you had to give it context, because any good bit of skill, you had to mention the weather. You have to say, so, you know, that is an incredible bit of skill in this weather.
Because of
the weather. So you had to mention the pitch quite a lot. But Morgan Moore scored an unbelievable try from
number eight. It's an amazing try.
Yeah, it's really
young good bloke. Amazing try.
Young bloke played for the under 20s when he was sort of either 2 or 3 years below the under 20s level.
I was going to say old, 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, probably could have.
Yeah, that is unusual.
He's a massive one for the future. Mason Grady got a good try. Good luck catching him when he breaks through.
He's rapid,
and he's big as well.
He
has to feature. He has to be a starter for me.
Tell me this.
Six Nations, yeah.
Two questions. I want a one-word answer to each. Is he angry when he carries the ball?
Yep.
Is he angry when he hits you in defence?
Yep.
Wow. That's good. Good signs. You do see a lot of big blokes who don't mind carrying the ball, but don't love smashing people or the other way around.
He runs like Ardie Surveyor, like in contact, because he's always wriggling, always trying to move.
Nightmare.
Point of contact, yeah. Just nightmare. Gives it everything. So, really enjoy watching him play. But there's a couple of other derbies on. Scarlett's struggling. Ospreys beat them. And then the Dragons beat the Scarlets on New Year's Day. Sam Costello, who's back, which is good news for Wales because we need a 10.
Yeah, it is.
Yoann Lloyd's up there. He's probably the only shining light for the Scarlets. Still playing well, still taking chances, still creating, still getting Scarlets out of trouble a lot with his footwork, his vision. Yeah. But the biggest calls are going to be who will be the number 10 for Wales. Owen Williams has been playing pretty solidly, and he's a solid option at 10.
Yeah.
You get a little bit more with Yoann Lloyd, a little bit more with Sam Costello at 10, but place kicking will be a slight issue because...
No halfpenny,
no bigger.
Yeah.
Your bankers. So, yeah, plenty of food for thought for Warren.
Yoann Lloyd for me, boy. Yoann Lloyd for me. Love him. Yep. I think he's great. Callum Sheedy's had a good start to the season, to be fair.
He's another one playing in really the mix well. As well. Yeah. The offload he gave, I can't remember what try. I remember seeing it out the back.
He's playing really well.
Yeah. Ouch. It was good. But another one that probably you were a little bit wary place kicking.
I mean, you say that about George Ford at the moment, but you'd still pick him for England. You know what I mean? I'll go Yoann Lloyd, please.
Can win it. Youngster at 15, boy.
Yeah, like him.
Against Bath. Yeah.
Like him a lot. Yeah. Like him a lot.
Another one.
In short, you've had one of the best games ever between Chiefs and Saints at the weekend. It was just last minute stuff. An attempted pass, bounced off Henry Slade's face, went out in the corner. Northampton got the throw in, scored last play, 42-36 or something like that. 42-39 or something like that. 40-odd, 30-odd. Amazing game.
Alex Mitchell, good. The movement between his break and Slightholm is brilliant. For any kids to watch that, just watch how sort of Slightholm's looking to run off him, but then ends up drifting wide. Alex Mitchell runs in field, creates a space. I just thought it was beautiful off the ball running.
Yep. Mitch Slightholm scored a hat-trick. He's a really good aggressive winger. I really like watching him play. And Alex Mitchell's just fantastic. He's on great form. And he came on. So, yeah, amazing game. Courtney Laws is linked with chats with Aix-en-Provence, which is a Pro D Dirt team. I think that's where Thomas Francis went.
Okay.
Welsh prop. And, you know, the whole narrative is then you've got French second division clubs poaching Premiership stars potentially if that happens. But is what it is. Of course, Owen Farrell linked with Racing. That said in one paper I read in the Times I read last night, it said that it's more like when, not if. I think it said that in there. So that's big. Like it's definitely a loss to the Premiership, definitely a loss to Sarri's, but you can't blame him. He's kind of done his bit and it's not like he's going over there. He'll go over there and I'm sure being crude about it, he'll get paid a load of cash, but he's not going over there for an easy ride. It is a harder ride. There are more games. It's hard work. He's got to properly deliver loads of pressure, loads of expectation at Racing if he goes there. So if he's given
above and beyond for the Premiership and deserves everything he gets. Tomas Williams is leaving at the end of the season to Gloucester. Huge loss.
Oh, there you go. To Gloucester.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So they poor Adam Hastings yesterday. He's been out for a long time injured. He's just back and playing against Bath in the big derby yesterday. They had a chance to win it. Thorley was open to the left. everyone could see it. He could see it. The defence could eventually see it, but he just needed to get that ball and whip it to Thorley. And Ollie Thorley is very difficult to handle one-on-one, as I'm sure you know, and very difficult. And he's quick and big and aggressive. He's like a horse. And Will Muir was the standout winger on the day, I thought. Yep. But actually, if Thorley gets that ball in time, a very good chance he scores, and Hastings just basically chucked it on the ground and a complete miss pass.
He runs really powerfully, Thorley, even when he's running the ball out of defence, you know, from kickoffs. You just give it to him and he just goes, and his shoulders and his body gets through that first tackle. Yeah. And there's so many times you look at players just clinging on to him.
Yep.
But you're right, Thorley was open for Adam Hastings to hit that pass. It would have, if they got that, got the kick, it would have been, I think, 27 all, maybe. So it wouldn't have got Gloucester a win, I don't think, but it would have stopped them losing.
No, but it was just, yeah, it would have been high drama.
It was a clear opportunity.
Yeah, it was just high drama. Bath,
Alfie
no
Barbary, it, having a bit of a puke at the end.
Yeah, I know.
Poor blogger.
Yeah, that ranked that.
They look knackered, mind. They look absolutely
everyone knackered. Because
it was a high-paced game. Yeah. There wasn't that many stoppages in the second half.
Heavy
pitch,
just
kept
too.
Going and going. Yeah, it was a heavy pitch.
But also, they're all human bodies are different, but there are different types of bodies. Like, you know, at Bath, we always, as soon as it went to a full front row on the bench, we basically always rotated our props at 55, 60 minutes every week. And now and again, if the person on the bench was injured or just cover or not quite fit, whatever it was, it'd be like 80 minutes. And then I remember, I think I did 87 weeks out of 8 or 8 weeks out of 9 or something. And I was like, I genuinely feel absolutely more comfortable doing 80 than 55 and having to blast it. I felt really comfortable doing 80s. And they're like, no, we don't want any props doing 80 minutes if we can avoid it, because you'll get injured, you're too heavy. And then they're like, right, you've done all these 80 minutes. Dave Barnes is back. You're going on the bench. I did 20 minutes the week after I'd done 80 again. And I was hanging out of my ass every time I did 20, 25 minutes. It just used to kill me. It's because you... And people say, I'll warm up better, hit the pads and get your heart rate up before you go on. There's, my system was just shocked by coming off the bench. Whereas if I started a game, I could do the 80. Like,
yep.
And Barbary, he's a big man. You know?
Get into the game slowly during kickoff and at halftime as well. But when you come on and the game is fast, it's open
horrible.
And loose. Yeah.
It's horrible. Disgusting. Yeah. Just aerobically basically. Horrible. Yeah.
Yep.
But I thought, Tom de Glanville got man of the match, thought he was good, but Ollie Lawrence again was good. It's because he's big and powerful, and that's what people see. But actually, standing start, bit of footwork, acceleration, creates a 2-on-1 from a 2-on-2 for Will Muir. Like,
yep,
he looks the real deal. Does
he's
Lawrence
a pinball, mate? He's a pinball. Yeah. He just bounces off players, because doesn't often just try. If you try and run through players all the time, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
are you? Like Hamish Watson is a bit like that. Like, he's not. There's no size to him, really. There's no massive weight, but just manipulates his body so well. He knows he can't run through people. He just bounces them off, doesn't use his momentum to let him tackle him, and then sort of ends up going a little bit backwards to go forward again.
There's also, like, you had it a bit without making you embarrassed. I don't know if you can you go red? I don't think you can go red, can you? But you had, like, the every blade of grass bit. Like, you would just go and go and go through contact. So if he wanted to tackle you, you had to really hit you hard and stick. Like when we played England A Wales at Wrexham and I smashed you on that inside line, I knew what was coming, so I buried you. But if you look at Ollie Lawrence, just keeps going, and I watched Mike Brown at the weekend playing for Tigers, just re-signed for them, good on him. And I've said this about Mike Brown a few times before. He has good acceleration. He is strong and powerful. When you see him up close, you realise there is nothing on him except muscle and bone and sinew. Yeah. Like, he is in amazing shape. But I honestly think it's a mindset. And I think there are lots of guys who are bigger and more powerful that go to ground easier. And the mindset of a Mike Brown and Ollie Lawrence, Hamish Watson, I think that is often, like, Ardie Surveyor is obviously a powerful guy, but it's his mindset that sees him carry the ball like that. He just rips into every carry. And
it's the power you've got as well, because you've got to be able to.
Genetics too, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to keep your feet and you've got to be able to pump your legs. And some people just know they haven't got it because of years of rugby already, and know they haven't been able to dominate contact.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not really going to go through your age group where you don't dominate sort of physically, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you're 20s and 30, 20s, mid-20s, you're dominating contact. doesn't work like that. You normally know what you can do. Yeah,
Barbary's always dominated contact, doesn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. Even if you're small, it doesn't matter. You still know that you can dominate contact. And I think people just worry sometimes. Carriers worry. They go straight down on the deck, recycle it. But other players, because they've done it for years and years and years, they know they've got the ability to stay on their feet, go that extra 2 or 3 meters, which does make a massive difference.
Yeah, but it's like you got all these quick lads around and you'd be like, right, this Trevor Woodman squats this and he's absolutely rapid. I'm like, right, I can squat that. I can power clean that. I can do that. I can lift what he lifts or more. I can do all that. How come I can't move like him? And it's like, mate, you just can't. You just can't move like him. He just moves better than you do. He's just quicker than you. And I was like, yeah, but I'm doing all this power stuff. All my scores are really good. And it's like, yeah. But when you put boots on and go on a field, you can't move as quickly as him. Full stop.
Yeah, but you didn't try so, did you?
No, because you just knew, don't you? Like, just can't. Yeah, it's just not in you. But so the big news really is Owen Farrell. So we'll see what gives there. But it could be also the other question is, who do they sign at 10? I mean, Sarries have always been one of those teams where they can just stick someone else in at 10 and they're fine. But actually, they thin out.
I think
out
you need a like
bit.
For like. Yeah, I don't think personally like a Finn Russell would suit Sarries. I think they'd have to change their game plan completely because they don't play the game like a Bath or a Northampton would. They play it slightly different. I think they're a bit more, maybe a little bit more pragmatic. They still create a lot of tries, but Owen Farrell doesn't have the running game of a Ford or a Finn Russell. So I think you have to be careful who you sign. Like a Andre Pollard might suit Sarries.
I think he would be your dream signing, but he ain't going to Sarries.
Nope.
He's not leaving Leicester to go to Sarries. No way. I mean,
no, sir.
Could happen.
You don't know. Money talks.
Money Neil talks, Diamond, boy.
Neil Diamond taught me that.
Money talks, boy.
Yeah, I had a nice New Year's Eve. I forgot to mention. Went round James Rainbird's house. Saw them year in. Yeah. My mate, Andrew Nicholson, Weird Andrew, bought over a big jukebox. Proper big one, like a JBL one. Had to wheel it in. I could imagine him going around Cardiff High Street with it on and singing karaoke. It was that big, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Saw the new. Where do you see the New Year in?
I was in bed early. We're down in Devon, actually. It was just us and the little babies, the two babies. So it was kind of
cute.
I was just,
you turned into a super cutie over the
I'm not like,
last couple of years.
Bugger New Year's Eve, I hate it. But the only way I really want to spend New Year's Eve, if it's not just in bed, is
with me.
Having dinner with mates around a table. Like I can't imagine going out anywhere for New Year's Eve anymore.
No, but you'd want, I'm with you, mate. That's how I'd like to spend Christmas as well, just with my mates.
Not with your family. I did say this Christmas. I said, what point do you get to like having mates Christmases? And Freya was like, never. I'm sure people have mates Christmas. No, they don't. Not people with big families. No, they don't. Okay. Shelve that idea. We will shelve that idea.
Oh, I went out for
another
couple of drinks as well with a couple of boys down in Swansea.
Oh, I saw that. You with Alan Wynne-Jones. Did you get that shirt signed that I gave you 2 years ago?
I didn't know he was going to be there. He randomly turned up. Otherwise, I would have. Christ. But
my mate Bryn asked me for that about once a month. Oh, you got that shirt signed yet? I said, oh, Shanks has still got it, mate. He says he's any day now.
I can forge it. No, he wasn't meant to be there. Hooky, James Hook was there. Shane Williams, Lee Byrne, Alid Brew. I think that was it, really. Budgie was there. He texted you yesterday, didn't he? He was in the President's Lounge with Roger Harry.
Yeah, hey,
imagine those two walking in. Imagine those two walking in. Someone
President's
put
Lounge
mascots.
At the Wreck in Bath. I think he texts me because it's called the President's Lounge and it wasn't what he was expecting.
Yeah.
It is. It's not that presidential. But John if you're Hall from Bath, you love it.
He sent a photo and I recognize. He sent a photo and I recognised John Hall. He was in there.
Oh, mate, John Hall's the king of Bath, mate.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, when you consider who's played for Bath, like Stuart Barnes, Jerry Guscott, those guys, legends, Jim Fallon, you know, all those legends, John Hall is the king.
Yeah.
John is the great. In my view, he's the greatest ever. He was different, mate. Hawley was different. Mobile, agile, hostile, big man.
Oh, I like that. I might get that tattooed on me.
Yeah. big, mate. You watch the old, we used to get old fed old videos of them, you know, and it's like, you know, you say, well, he could play now. I mean, Hawley was actually, 6'4", 120 kilos plus, yeah. Lean, powerful. Genuinely, he could have played. There's, in this era. Mate,
Lowe's, most could. Most yeah. could, because they'd get a little bit bigger. But
you'd evolve in training, yeah.
Yeah. People are the same size. They're just conditioned better now.
And you see Hawley now, and he's like be 60 now or something. Well, yeah, not far off. And he's obviously does loads of cycling. He's trimmed down loads. He's massive, mate. And he's lean, but he's massive man. And you're like, he is every bit as big as a lot of... He's much bigger than, like, for example, the Curry twins, who are amazing players and big. He's much bigger than them. And you think there are... You just write off the pre-pro era as though they couldn't compete. And it's like, well, actually, put them on our regimes. Not true. Like, look at Leonard. He was an amateur. And then look at the pro he became, you know, like...
John Devereaux. He's massive, mate. Jiffy. Yeah. Easy. You know, a little bit of better condition than they probably had. But...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they would have got that. And yes.
Rob Jones might be the only one, because he's 4 foot and you can't...
That is, well...
You can't get taller.
Nah, it's tough, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. He could. He was amazing. Right, should we end it there, mate? It's a long one.
Yeah, God, yeah. Yeah.
But I haven't seen you for a while. I spoke to you for a while, so...
I'd love to tell you I'm, you know, doing something exciting this afternoon. Well, I am, actually. I am. I'm doing almost nothing for the whole afternoon, which is a real treat, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cooking for seven tonight, though. So, you know, there's a lot of us. But
what are you cooking, quickly?
I'm actually just defrosting some, since you ask, Wagyu ribeye steaks.
Nice.
Yeah. From a local guy who's at the beginning, early days of his journey to producing Wagyu beef. So it's not K5, which is about the stuff you go to Japan and pay £1,000 for. These were a tenner, 12 quid for two. So it's, you know, but they're big.
Off the back of a lorry.
Yeah, well, at the back of my mate's freezer. But my mate Craig and Powley took me over there, and really interesting. But it's all very, very scientific, but I enjoy all that stuff, you know.
I had the turkey crown was lovely from Field and Flower, as was the Royal Sirloin for Christmas. I've got a load of chicken thighs, which I'm really enjoying from Field and Flower at the moment. I'm making a chicken curry tonight. Had some lamb yesterday. Field and Flower order came yesterday as well. So I've got some burgers, some sausages. I like to have my sausages before I play golf. So I play golf first thing in the morning.
I'll put like sausages?
Fryer, and I'll take them around and eat them warm. I have three sausages, maybe four. I'm hungry. And
you're the sausage
four.
Boy. But it's funny you say that, because I didn't think to mention them, but as well as the, because two steaks isn't enough for all of us people. But I've also got Field and Flower, obviously, boneless chicken thighs out defrosting as well. Yeah. I have never had a Field and Flower order. This is not a Field and Flower sponsored pod, we must remind people. We just love it. I've never had, I don't think, a Field and Flower order that hasn't had chicken thighs in it. I order them every single fortnight, every single order.
Beautiful. Keep the moisture. Yep.
They're the best
bit.
I've
got a sirloin steak on the bone.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm eating this week. So I might actually fire up the barbecue for it, because I've been lazy at the moment.
Cold. I did Field and Flower turkey legs yesterday, turkey thighs on the Kamado Joe.
Nice.
Yep. Mega.
Oh, good.
Mega roasted them basically put them on just as Bath kicked off against Gloucester, and then glazed them. But I pressed pause just after half time, gave them a little glaze with some apricot barbecue sauce, which is all I had. And nice low temp, took them off at the end. Bloody lush, mate.
Well done.
Tell the kids they're chicken. So there you go.
What a McGuinea pal. Okay, mate.
Right, good luck to you.
Yeah, we'll speak to you next week.
Just about to wrap a Christmas tree in a duvet cover and get it out of the house without hopefully dropping all the bits.
Oh, you look like you're going to make a cupboard or something.
Yeah. All right, up yours. See you guys.
See you, bye.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage,
Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.